Good afternoon. My name is Susan Muirhead, and today I'll be reading part one of the News Gazette, dated for this day, Tuesday, March 31st, the last day of March in 2026. Let's begin with today's top stories. The first headline reads, U of I's campus town, liquor stores, sales restrictions proved costly. They'd like city to find another way to keep public safe while celebrating. This article is written by Jana Wiersema. You can reach her by email at jwiersema@newsgazette.com. This article is based out of Champaign. The mood in Campustown was euphoric Saturday night after the Illini earned their first Final Four appearance in 21 years. However, not everyone was in the mood to celebrate. Emergency restrictions on alcohol sales, intended to ensure safe celebrations, left some liquor store owners feeling shortchanged. I had to close my store at 6, and I lost almost $5,000 because I'm open till 12, said Harvinder Singh, owner of Illini Grab and Go at 4th and Green Streets. And especially on Fridays and Saturdays, we make money. The City of Champaign's emergency order restricted Campustown retailers from selling alcohol between 6 p.m. Saturday and 2:30 a.m. Sunday. Additionally, all liquor stores in the city were restricted from delivering alcohol in and out of the campus area during the same time frame and from selling more than one keg per customer from 6 a.m. Saturday to 2:30 a.m. Sunday. Campustown bars were required to serve alcohol in plastic, paper, or aluminum containers rather than glass from 3 p.m. Saturday to 2:30 a.m. Sunday. We had an excited and cooperative crowd at the conclusion of the Elite Eight game, and we are happy to share that there were no injuries or reports of criminal damage in the Campustown area, said University of Illinois Police Department spokesperson Abigail Reisner. This coming weekend could also bring celebrations or commiserations depending on the outcome of the Illinois versus UConn game, with tip-off set for 5:09 p.m. Saturday in Indianapolis. We are in talks with our public safety partners to determine how things went, what worked, what didn't, and whether or not emergency orders for the Final Four games would be appropriate or not, said Jeff Hamilton, the city's administrative services manager and deputy liquor commissioner. We're not ready to make that decision quite yet. He estimated that the city will know its plans by midweek. I don't want that notice again, Singe said. Liquor land owner Santok Singe, no relation, likewise said that Saturday was extremely difficult for his business as the order impacted one of his store's busiest sales periods. He is still reviewing the figures, but feels confident that the store lost a substantial portion of our expected weekend revenue, easily several thousand dollars in sales for that night alone. For a small business like ours, that is a major hit, he said. What was especially frustrating is that while we were forced to stop sales early, bars remained open and were already packed. From what we observed, people were still out in large crowds on Green Street after the game, many visibly intoxicated, and there didn't appear to be enough control of the situation. That raises serious questions about how this policy actually improved public safety. Hamilton acknowledged that the city understands the impact of the order on Campustown businesses, but added that public safety will always be the number one priority. We understand that this was inconvenient for some of our businesses, he said. It appears like maybe some of the steps we took were helpful in ensuring public safety, and so we'll evaluate and see whether we need to take any additional steps for the Final Four run. And we certainly hope that Illini can clinch it all and win two more games. And looking forward to the week ahead, Reisner said that the U of I Police Department encourages individuals to celebrate safely and if they choose to drink, to do so responsibly. Individuals should stay on the sidewalk, avoid construction areas, and pace their alcohol consumption to decrease risk of injury, she added. We will have extra staffing available in the event of an emergency, and anyone in need of assistance should call 911 right away, she said. Students should remember that under state law and the medical amnesty policy, the police cannot cite someone for a minor alcohol offense when they call 911 for medical assistance for themselves or another person. and the university has guidelines to protect students from disciplinary action under certain circumstances. If someone under the age of 21 has consumed alcohol as in need of medical attention, they should call 911 immediately. And there's a couple of photographs that accompany this article, just of young college students celebrating the U of I's win out on the street, kind of cheering in crowds. The captions read, "Celebrants gather around the University of Illinois' alma mater, as well as the Green and Wright Streets area Saturday night, following the Illini men's team's Elite Eight win over Iowa." Those photos are provided by Robin Scholes for the News Gazette. And as a quick follow-up to that, at newsgazette.com, what say you? You can email your letters to the editor at letters@newsgazette.com. The next caption reads, actually, two large photos, colorful, front page. 2025 Farm Leader of the Year Banquet, Apples of Our Eye. There's two photos. One is of a man and a woman holding what looks to be a plaque and a newspaper up, where they're the also featured on the cover of the newspaper. All of these photos, by the way, are taken by Robin Scholes. That's R-O-B-I-N, last name Scholes, S-C-H-O-L-Z, photographer for the News Gazette. And there's another picture of an older gentleman with a microphone in a blazer, handing kind of a plaque over to a younger gentleman with a tie. Here's what the captions say. So first, the couple. The proprietors of Curtis Orchard and Pumpkin Patch, Champaign, Debbie Curtis Graham and her husband Randy Graham, hoist their Farm Leaders of the Year Award Monday during the dinner, honoring them at Riggs Brewing Company in Urbana. The 2025 award, bestowed by past farm leaders, marks just the second time that more than one person has been honored in the same year, and the first honoring a husband and wife duo. And the next caption is Russell Burr, B-U-H-R. On the left, the 2022 Farm Leader of the Year presents the Emerging Farm Leader of the Year Award to Cole Pruitt at Monday's awards dinner. More photos from Monday's banquet may be found in a gallery online at newsgazette.com. Now, episode 46, As Heard On, airing from 4 to 5 p.m. Monday through Thursday on WDWS 1400 AM and streaming online at newsgazette.com. Here's some short and newsworthy stories. Worth your while and guaranteed to make you smile. The 80-second viral video on our Facebook page of 70s alum Bill Rana, R-O-N-N-A, celebrating Saturday's Illini win over Iowa at his Bolingbrook home. If the dance moves the Gibson City native shows off look familiar, you may have seen them during home basketball games, which Rana and his videographer wife never miss. I've had a couple times where the camera caught me at State Farm Center. I was kind of surprised when they did catch me dancing. The crowd went nuts, and when they went away, they booed. I kind of felt like Cowboy Tommy for a little while, Rana said on Monday's Final Four-themed edition of News Gazette Radio, powered by GTP's insurance. It's one of more than 20 videos, on top of 200-plus photos, that Illini fans, faculty, and alumni groups have shared with the News Gazette. From sunup Saturday to last call Sunday, we'll keep it going all week with scenes from office orange outs and school dress-up days. You can send yours via text to 217-552-7668 or email at jdalessio, that's J-D-A-L-E-S-S-I-O, at newsgazette.com. Rana's video, set to the music of the Venga Boys, ends with the Ford County native retrieving his large orange Illinois flag from the closet and planting it in the pole outside his front door. I was just worried I would trip over the sidewalk or something like that at my advanced age, he said. But, hey, I still got it. Maybe. Next short story. 2 days after a celebration unlike any other he's been a part of, Logan, Wagler, W-A-G-L-E-R, was running on empty Monday in Shawnee, Kansas. It was off the charts. I'm still tired. The dad of South Regional MVP, Keaton Wagler, said during his second appearance on the show, "It's just emotionally drained me going through that weekend and capped it all off with just an awesome night on Saturday night. Seeing his son dribble out the last seconds of Saturday's Final Four clinching win in Houston is a moment that will be rough to top." "I'm not really an emotional guy," Logan said, "but I got pretty emotional. I had all the feelings of seeing all the late nights, all the hard work that he's put in, and knowing how hard the team has worked, and all the coaches. Just an incredible feeling." Next up, Illinois' road to the Final Four began with a round one win over the Ivy League's Penn Quakers, coached by Fran McCaffrey, formerly of Iowa and now leading the Brad Underwood fan club. "It's not just Underwood's team he's high on. They are my pick to win it all," McCaffrey said on Monday's show. He also gave a special shout-out to the annual Coaches vs. Cancer Dinner and Auction the Illini coach hosts annually at Gordyville. "That event is one of the more special events in the country," said McCaffrey, part of a star-studded 2023 guest list that also included Michigan State's Tom Izzo, Nebraska's Fred Holberg, and Purdue's Matt Painter. "Brad told me it was special, and boy, was he right. We had a lot of fun that night." And all of this reporting has been done by Jeff D'Alessio for the News Gazette. Next up, top of the morning, something to get you going today, courtesy of Vice President Jim Rosso. If you have comments, questions, suggestions for Top of the Morning, you can always reach out to Jim Rosso at his email address, which is jrossow@newsgazette.com. Final Four coverage notes. We have a crew of eight headed to Indianapolis to cover the Illini, including business writer Jana Wiersema. She's the granddaughter of the late Dick Foley, who played in the 1949 Final Four for the Illini and later played a major role in the construction of the Assembly Hall. "My family, of course, is very excited," Jana said. "Maybe a bit envious, too," Mom joking with Jana, that the person who gets to go to the Final Four is the one who is the least interested in sports. Jana will handle the economic angle involving the Illini and their thousands of fans headed to Indianapolis for the weekend. If you're headed that way, she'd love to hear from you. You can email her at jwiersema@cimg-media. Jana was in first grade the last time the Illini reached a Final Four in 2005. While not a sports nut, she's well aware of the program's rich history thanks to family ties. "I feel proud of my granddad's legacy, which is more than just basketball," she said. Four front page posters celebrating the Illini's Final Four clinching in Houston are on sale at newsgazette.com and will be available in our lobby later this week, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. If the Illini win in Indianapolis, we'll produce another batch. And coming in Saturday's print edition, a 64-page tribute to the Illini's magical march to the Final Four. And there's a photo of Jana Wiersema, a young Caucasian with brown hair, long brown hair. And then there is a photograph, I think, which is one of the posters. I believe it's a photograph from the team. They're men dressed in suits, and I think that's from the 1949 Final Four team. And they're standing outside of a plane, probably headed to or from that game. Go Illini. Next up, history. Area history. In 1926, the rabies situation, quote unquote, in the countryside surrounding Urbana continues to unfold. A laboratory at the University of Illinois announced that two additional dogs suspected of rabies have been diagnosed positive, raising to 10 the total number of cases in March. One dog from Cass County was known to have bitten two other dogs and some 15 or 20 pigs. Dr. J.H. Beard, the university's health officer, favors immunizing all dogs in Urbana and Champaign with the rabies vaccine. In 1976, the Illinois State Liquor Control Commission is beginning an investigation into the possible illegal sale of 20 half kegs of old style beer by McMahon Distributing of Champaign to Dooley's at 608 East Daniel Street in Champaign. Tom Murphy, the commission's executive director, said old style is, in effect, contraband for McMahon to handle. Only Clark Distributing of Champaign may legally sell old style beer to retailers in Champaign under the Illinois Liquor Control Act. That was from 1976. In 2011, accusations about donations to Champaign mayoral candidates Don Gerard and Jerry Swigart grew more heated, with each candidate raising concerns about how the other is financing his campaign and amid questions of whether or not the two mayoral candidates would make their campaign contributions public before the polls open. They're not required to do so until 10 days after Election Day. One candidate has apparently missed a deadline to report contributions larger than $1,000. And in international history, today's highlight, on March 31st, 1968, at the conclusion of a nationally broadcast address on Vietnam, Democratic President Lyndon B. Johnson stunned listeners by declaring, "I shall not seek and will not accept the nomination of my party for another term as your president." The next headline reads, "Let's take a quick look at our weather forecast for the next few days. Today, 79 degrees, partly sunny with a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms, southwest winds 20 to 25 miles per hour, gusts up to 40 miles per hour." So very windy today. Overnight, showers and thunderstorms, so it will rain overnight. Wednesday, the high will be 59, the low is 47. Showers again with a 90% chance of thunderstorms. Northeast winds around 15 miles per hour with gusts up to 25 miles per hour overnight. Rain again likely. Thursday, the high is 75, the low is 55. A 90% chance of rain in the morning, then rain with a chance of thunderstorms in the afternoon. Breezy. Friday, the high will be 73, the low is 57. Mostly cloudy with the 50% chance of showers. And Saturday, the high will be 69, the low is 59. Again, showers likely. So, warmer temperatures, lots of rain expected in the next few days. The next headline reads, Danville Area Planning and Zoning Commission. Missionary seeks permit to open Bible Museum. Vacant Logan Avenue building was donated. This article is written by Jennifer Bailey, who can be reached by email at jbailey@newsgazette.com. This article is based out of Danville. A resident who moved to Danville 2 years ago as a missionary and printed gospel tracts now hopes to open the Bible Museum in the former Center for Children's Services building along Logan Avenue. The Danville Area Planning and Zoning Commission at its Thursday meeting will consider recommending approval of petitioner Christopher Pickering's request for a special use permit to operate a cultural facility to be used as a Bible Museum in a P1 professional office zoning district at 702 North Logan Avenue in Danville. Pickering said Aunt Martha's Health Center, which owned this long vacant building, donated it to him. He said what led him to creating a Bible Museum is, "We've prayed about it," quote unquote. "I'm printing less now, gospel tracts, and have free time. It's opened the way for this," he said, about this next endeavor. He said they've not finalized a name for it, but we are calling it the Bible Museum. He foresees it having four sections involving the Old Testament, New Testament, how we got the Bible, and how Christianity spread. Pickering said he's doing this on his own and the museum isn't affiliated with any church. Listed on the special use request as property owner is Two Mites Treasury, not-for-profit, 401 South Chestnut Street in Chabance. With city approval, he doesn't see the museum opening for a couple years. It will take 2 years at the soonest, Pickering estimates, due to the vandalism that has occurred with the vacant building. The museum may open in stages, he said. Electrical and heating will have to be addressed in addition to other renovations. Tree debris already has been removed from the site. When asked if he has the funding to tackle such a project, Pickering replied, "Not yet." He said they will be relying on gifts and donations and selling tickets for the museum to pay for it. It will be an immersive museum, he added, about having artifacts and rooms with Bible mission scenes. In other business, the Zoning Commission will consider Fred G. Pierce's request to rezone 434 Avenue B from I-1, or L-1, that's light industrial, to R-2 single-family residential. Medium-density zoning to allow construction of a single-family home at that location. According to the petition, the site is a 0.61-acre parcel with an existing house and shed. There's one file photo that accompanies this article. It's an exterior photo of a building surrounded heavily by trees and with a sign that said Children's Services, kind of sign outside of it. The caption reads, "A Bible museum is proposed for the former Center for Children's Services building on Logan Avenue in Danville." As a quick follow-up, the story contains original reporting by the News Gazette staff. If you are not a subscriber, please consider becoming one, because local journalism is only possible with your support. A subscription to the News Gazette plays a vital role in making this reporting possible. Thank you for your support and helping us to continue to connect our community. The next headline reads, from Immigration. This is from Capital News. Immigration. Short-term guardianship can help youth during ICE deportations. This article is written by Olivia Ardito and the Medill, Illinois News Bureau. You can reach Capital News at news@capitalnewsillinois.com. This article is based out of Chicago. Operation Midway Blitz brought hundreds of federal immigration agents to the Chicago area last fall and led to more than 4,500 arrests. What happens to the children in these situations? One option for parents is to complete a short-term guardianship form for their children to protect them should the parents be detained, deported, or disappear. What's a short-term guardianship? Short-term guardianship refers to an adult other than the parent or legal guardian taking temporary custody of a child for up to 1 year. Created in the late 1980s, the standardization of this process became law under the Illinois Probate Act after extensive lobbying by AIDS activists worried about their children if they were to pass away. It gives families peace of mind in case there's something that goes wrong, Illinois attorney Scott K. Summers said. Summers describes the process as preparing a backup or emergency guardian. It is one legal pathway to protect children in case something happens to their parent, whether that be a military deployment, a medical emergency, arrest, or deportation. Rebecca Rashid Faroki, the Director of Guardianship and Immigration Programs for Children at Chicago Volunteer Legal Services, said the form can be easily revoked as well if needed. The parent filling out this form gets to designate someone, and if they change their mind, they can just revoke the form and write a new one. So they're not really relinquishing any rights by filling out a short-term guardianship, Rashid Faroki said. Since the start of raids across Illinois by the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement and U.S. Customs and Border Protection, Rashid Faroki reported that her group has seen a significant increase in the number of short-term guardianship forms filed. They have also been hosting frequent educational classes on what these forms are and how they work. How does one become a short-term guardian? To become a temporary guardian of a minor, the parent or permanent guardian of the child must fill out this form in the presence of two witnesses over 18. This process does not need to be completed in a court of law or in front of a judge. Additionally, the form allows for the short-term guardianship to apply only under specific circumstances, such as if the parent were to be deported or arrested. More advanced guardianships or longer-term guardianships do require going to court, filing papers, getting a judicial appointment as a guardian, Attorney Summers said. This gives parents autonomy and convenience. Summers suggests that families who are curious about this process but have concerns over the legal details should speak with a trusted attorney to get more information and advice. Rashid Faraki said a significant advantage of choosing short-term guardianship over alternative processes is the ease of doing so. Going through the courts can take months, cost money, and require all members of the new guardian's household to be fingerprinted. Parents really have a lot of discretion and control over the situation, unlike in a court process. So the court process is kind of the opposite of all of those things, Rashid Faraki said. And there's just a photo of papers. The caption reads, Form CFs 44-2, also known as the short-term guardianship form. That photo is taken by Olivia Ardito and the Medill, Illinois News Bureau for this article. The next headline reads, University of Illinois Roundup, Nelson Gannon lead Illini baseball to clinching victory at Penn State. This is collectively written by the News Gazette, but it's based out of University Park in Pennsylvania. Make it three straight Big Ten series wins for the Illini baseball team. The Illini secured a 6-0 victory on Sunday at Penn State to capture another conference series. Aiden Finn and Reed Gannon combined for the three-hit shutout, with Gannon earning the win after lasting five innings while only allowing one hit and finishing with three strikeouts. The Illini won the final two games of the series against the Nittany Lions, 8-18, 3-6, after Saturday's 16-5 rout. In softball, Illini dropped series to Gophers. Illinois did end its 0-4 in Big Ten play, but the Illini still dropped another conference series. In women's tennis, Illini lose to Seattle. Illinois split its two matches during a trip to the Pacific Northwest, and Illinois broke through the 16-5 victory against Minnesota on Saturday for tennis as well, I believe. And as a quick note, the News Gazette is a daily newspaper operated by Central Illinois Multimedia Group, or CIMG. Post Office Box 677, Champaign, Illinois 61824-0677. Jim Rosso is the Vice President of News. Jeff D'Alessio is the editor. Mark Lucas is the Vice President of Advertising. And Nico Dugan is the Managing Editor. Delivery, subscriptions, and classifieds, you can call 217-351-5252. That's the phone number for the News Gazette offices. Again, 217-351-5252. And our offices are currently located at 2101 Fox Drive in Champaign, Illinois. I'm Susan Muirhead, and this has been part one of the News Gazette, dated for this date, Tuesday, March 31st, 2026. I'll be back to read part two with you shortly.